Right, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Now, as you're turning there, I have a strange confession. I have struggled with this series for probably 9 months. And at one side of me, I've almost, not dreaded, but I've struggled with how to frame this and how to approach this. And that is part of the reason why it's taken so long to pull this sermon series together. But then on the other side, I've been looking forward to it. Strange, I know, but I'm looking forward to it in that I know that once I began to kind of investigate and touch this idea of gratefulness, what a huge impact that has had on my life. And my prayer is, as we spend the next 5 weeks, I know that sounds like a long time, but it's really not, walking through what really biblical gratefulness is, how it impacts us, how it changes us, and how it begins to reorient us to see God more clearly. And that's my prayer, because that's what God is doing in my life, and my prayer is He'll do the same thing in your life. Now, we need to do a couple of things at the beginning of this. We'll do this review each week over the next several weeks, or 5 weeks, that is. But we need to make sure that we're all on the same page of what we mean by gratefulness. Despite what we see in popular language use and terminologies that you see in writing today, there is a true, clear understanding in the Bible of what gratefulness is. So here it is, if you want to write it down. This will be our definition. It's a continued response of a believer whose heart has been changed by God. That's it. It's not overly complicated. It's not one that we can certainly sum up in just a few words. I'll give it to you again. I know some of you are trying to write that down. Biblical gratefulness is the continual response of a believer whose heart has been transformed by God or changed by God. And there's a particular act of God that does that, and it's the grace of God. And we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about that a lot over the next few weeks. Now, I want you to also understand kind of a flow here, because I think it'll help us to understand where we are and how we see this and then what we pray about in this. And that's my hope, is that as we go through this each week, you pull pieces of it and now it becomes part of what you pray every single day of your walk with the Lord. Let's be clear about something in that definition I just gave you. It always begins with God's grace. We are not grateful because of something somebody else has done in the sense of biblical gratefulness. It is always tied back to God's grace. Now, if you're confused by what we mean by the word grace, it is God not giving us what we deserve. I mean, that's it. We're sinners. We have made huge mistakes and offenses against the living God, and we deserve damnation and eternal separation. But by the grace of God, He has provided Christ to wipe away all of that sin and forgive us. Amen and amen. And so when we think about gratefulness, it is always going back to that act that God in His grace spares us. Second part of this, and again, this is just the lead up, what we'll call the background. This is not my sermon this morning. But it always, when we begin to focus on grace and let it become a part of our heart which is grateful, it means that we've had a changed heart. It's not just that we observe God's grace and His actions. We're changed by it. We've experienced Him. He is now beginning to change us and transform us every single day because of that grace. Continually reminding us that we're not getting what we deserve, but we're getting what God loves us enough to give us. Also, gratefulness, another descriptor here, is that it's expressed daily. Now, when we begin to think about this, we understand that we are grateful, and then gratefulness now becomes the outward action of a heart full of being grateful or gratitude. And then also a last thing here as we think about that definition, if you don't get it this morning, that's fine. We'll do this each week to some degree, is that the other part of biblical gratefulness is that it continues every season. It's not hinged on what's happening in your life. It's not determined on your mood that morning or the emotion in which you walk through your day. It is something that is meant to continue in every part of your life. It's not just your church life. It's not just your family life. It's including your work life and hobby life and whatever else it is that makes you who you are. It now begins to touch all of those things. Now this morning as we begin, we're going to look today, as you see in the title, where we're going to remember grace. There are three things that David in this passage pulls out for us that helps us to begin this journey of not just counting what we should be grateful for, but observing some of the keys that now lead to a heart that is filled with gratefulness. So that's what we're going to do today. This psalm is David's, probably one of his greatest writings. We've talked about it before. I think I counted up, I've preached on this probably 3 or 4 times, maybe 5 times in the years that I've been here. It is what we would call one of the great songs of David. And what we mean by that is David wrote this as a praise and worship song. And it's a song that is calling himself, it's a testimonial, calling himself to be directed to what God has done in his life. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about David, as we have looked at David before, but David's life is full of ups and downs. He seems to be one who is chasing after God and oftentimes finds God's presence and is obedient, and other times he finds God's presence and is disobedient. And so David has a wild life that is full of all kinds of experiences that now become something that we can learn from. And that's what we're attempting to do today. Let's pray. Then we'll jump in. I'll read down from verse 1 to verse 5, Psalm 103. And then we'll come back and I'm going to give you 3 things today that helps us in understanding why we should be grateful. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. As we embark on this endeavor, today's the day. And God, I so look forward to this, but I've also been a little bit of fear and trembling as I approach this. And I pray for all of us this morning that this becomes something that we seek. It's something that we just can't get enough of, exploring what this means. It's life-altering when we begin to focus on certain things in your divine word and now begin to figure out what they mean and then how do they change us and how do they impact the way we live every single day. And this most definitely is one that has that power and ability. Because it's something that I'm afraid we've missed in a lot of our daily pursuits of you. It's almost like going back to the basics in some ways and uncovering a basic truth that we've missed in a lot of things today. So God, I pray, open our hearts as believers. Open our minds. Enrich us. Give us that soul burning to seek this out and what this means for our daily life, meaning what we do this afternoon, what we do tomorrow when we wake up, and as we walk through each day this week, we can't get away from what we learned today about gratefulness. Now, God, I pray for that lost person who may be here this morning, present in our sanctuary, or watching this on our live stream, or even listening to this on our podcast sometime later in the week. My prayer for them, that as we begin to talk about gratefulness, we really focus on grace. And just what we said a moment ago, that God, you have spared us from what every single one of us deserves as sinners. And that is a life spent in hell for eternity. But by your grace, you have seen fit through your love and the action of Christ on the cross for us to be forgiven of that, to be alleviated of the weight of that sin, and to be able to be made new and changed and transformed by you to be something that honors you. And so, God, I pray for that lost person this morning. There's no doubt they're searching for that. They're searching for that truth, I pray. They're looking for the life change that so many other things they've tried to change with have failed miserably, because really only Christ is the one that is that change that all of us are searching for. So my prayer this morning is that through the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would focus their eyes on the fact that Christ died on the cross for them. And for them to be thankful for that is not the same thing as what we think of as being full of gratefulness as a believer. Now, God, open our eyes as we look at your word together. Guide us as we do this. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1, and it begins this way. Let all that I am praise the Lord. He's going to say this twice. The beginning of verse 1, verse 2. That sets the tone for this. Lets us know that what David is focusing on is that he wants to be immersed in worship. Now, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Amos and what God desires out of our worship, and that it's not something that we just bring during a song service, but it's a lifestyle in which we adapt and live by every single day. That's essentially the point that David's reiterating with that statement. He goes on to say this in the latter part of verse 1. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Again, a little kind of reoccurring of what we talked about in Amos. And then he goes on in verse 2 to say it again, but in a little bit different way. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Okay, he said that in verse 1, but he's saying it again. Now, this is our focal this morning. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Now, when we decide that we're going to focus on this, I want us to be cautious. We're not talking about good in the lowercase level. I'm reading out of New Living Translation. It is on the screen that way as well. But really, theologically, it should be capitalized G. Because we're talking about the goodness of God, not the world's perception of those things. Which takes us to the little g word. Don't lose me here. There's a point in this, and that when we celebrate, or as David is telling us, to celebrate the goodness of God, we're talking about God's actions, both what we might think are good in the little g aspect by a human standpoint, and even what we might think are bad things. They are still the act of goodness by God. And we have to begin to see God in that way. All of his actions are good. Whether we agree with them, like them, or want to do them, they are all good because they're an extension of his character. Now, if you ever go to seminary and take a theology, what's called systematic theology course, the first topic of conversation is who is God? And as part of that discussion, you begin to talk about the traits of God. He's eternal. He is sovereign. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. And then another one of those traits is goodness. He's good. He's always good. And his goodness is not dependent on us agreeing that it's good. You understand? There are things in history where we look. I mean, we talked about last week, COVID-19. And I'm going to tell you, at the time, I saw nothing good out of that. Certainly, I couldn't understand why God was allowing that to happen. But I look back at that through God's actions, and while I'm not saying he caused COVID-19 to come, his goodness, big G, capital G, goodness was found in that tragedy. Amen? In many different ways. Not just in our understanding of the freedoms that we have in this country that we probably take for granted, but also in understanding that in that God led us as a body of believers to do things and become comfortable with things that we otherwise might not have done. The online streaming, online giving, and other things that we began to do during COVID. God's big G goodness began to shine through in that. Now, another sermon for another day is that that's the case in every part of your life. You get a medical diagnosis and it's not good. But yet God's goodness, big G, goodness, always begins to prevail in that if you let it, if you begin to see it and understand it. You may be going through a work situation. You may be in a relational problem and wondering where God's goodness is in that. Just pay attention. Pay attention to God and begin to notice the big G goodness acts of God that begin to take over. David knew this. David understood this probably better than any of the other writers of the Old Testament, in my opinion, because of the ups and downs in his life. I mean, David was not perfect. We know that. David was a sinner. But he also understood the importance of a relationship with God. David had a grateful heart, even though he didn't demonstrate it all the time. He goes on then in verse 3. And he says this, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Verse 5, he fills my life with good things. Again, we should say capital G, good things there. My youth is renewed like the eagles. In other words, our whole outlook is changed and impacted by what God does in our life, or at least it should. So as we begin to back up and look at this, and we're thinking today, based on what David is telling us, what are some of the things that are part of God's grace that we now begin to understand that leads us to be grateful, to have a heart of gratitude? First one is this, and he says this very clearly in verse 3. Number one is this: we should remember his forgiveness. Now I'm talking to believers here, because we as believers are the only ones that have experienced the forgiveness that David is mentioning here, in that we understand that by the grace of God, he sent Christ to the cross, not as just some historical event, but it was a theological, life-changing, earth-shattering event, in that Christ went to the cross and freely died for all of our sins. And the shedding of his blood now begins to cover your sin. There is not another thing that you can do that causes that kind of blanket forgiveness. And so in our daily life, we should always be fixated on the fact that God's grace keeps us from getting what we deserve, but we get what God loves for us to have, and that is the forgiveness. And with that now, he deems us able to come into his presence because of Christ, because of what he did on the cross, the forgiving of our sins. We're not separated from God anymore. We don't have to go through, as David would have understood it, through a sacrificial system. We don't have to make sacrifices of some animal in a temple once a year in order to be able to gain access to God. Because of Christ, we have access to him this morning, to be able to speak to him, to be in his presence, to be able to be changed by his presence. See, I think whether David fully grasped it or not, what he's describing in his Old Testament mindset was something that you and I experience on a daily basis. The forgiveness, the change that comes from that. And so if we're truly going to understand what it means to be grateful, we need to understand God's grace, right? We've said that in the very beginning. Part of that is forgiveness. And understanding the impact of that. I'm afraid in our world today, in most of our Christian sort of world that we operate in, we devalue some of these things. We're certainly not living a life of gratitude anymore. Now, let me pause here and say something, okay? Thankful is when we're thankful for something that God did for us. That could be part of being grateful, okay? But gratefulness is something much deeper. Gratefulness goes beyond thankfulness and is really the heart core feeling of understanding every day when you wake up. I am grateful that God is in my presence. I'm grateful that God has allowed me to wake up. I'm grateful that he has forgiven me. I'm grateful that God is in the world working through me. I'm grateful that I'm going to face the struggles that I face today, knowing that God's goodness is going to work in spite of the sin and stupid things that I do. I am grateful that God has put me into a community of people who are grateful for him in their own lives. Thankfulness is something I say thank you for, and then I go on back to my normal life. Gratefulness is evidence of a heart that's been changed by the presence of God. It's much bigger than being thankful. And the problem with many of our churches and believers today is we just want to be thankful and then go on back to the way we were and not be grateful. That's what David is calling us to do here. And it begins with an understanding of forgiveness. Number two is this. Not only does he tell us about the forgiveness that he has experienced, but he also tells us in the second part of verse 3, when he tells us this, he heals all my diseases. Number two is this: remember his healing. Now, I think David, in some sense, is writing this from a very physical experience of God saving him physically from illness and struggle in the what we might term as physical ailment world, okay? But there's also a part of this that is kind of between the lines that I want us also to focus on, is that God has healed us from a world of sin, a culture that is chaotic. God has healed us from the consequences of sin that render us unable to be used by God. God has healed us from the problem of our own selves. He does do the physical healing, no doubt about that. We've seen that in the life of this church over the last years. And there's no denying that. But God's healing has a whole different level as well, and it's the spiritual healing. And again, I think we live in a world today where we want to rank and evaluate God based on the physical healings. Well, Brother Keith, last week I had a sore throat, and I prayed for God's healing, and guess what? Now I have strep throat. Okay, that doesn't mean that God hasn't healed you. I mean, we could go down that rabbit hole. Maybe that could have turned into something worse than strep throat. Thankfully, it's strep throat only, and you just go get some antibiotics and you're going to be okay. It could have spun out into being something far worse. Could have been a tumor. Could have been cancer. So rather than focusing on the fact that God did not heal me of what I asked him to heal me, you're missing the mark of how he might have healed you, and you just didn't even notice it. Now, that's the physical. And he does that in his own way. But God also, every single day, reminds us that he heals us spiritually. When you wake up and you go through your day, and you're tempted in that sin, and because of the power of God and the lessons you've learned from him, you steer a different direction. That is evidence of God's spiritual healing in your life. You understand the danger of that sin and the consequences that sin creates in your life and the ripple effect that it has on you, the conviction and the guilt that you carry because of that sin. That's evidence of God's spiritual healing in your life. And we need to be reminded of that. I think some of the daily events we go through are not just reminders that God has forgiven us, but also reminders that he has healed us and he is continually healing us. I think when we talk about transformation and the change, that's part of that. God is continually healing us spiritually. How can I say that? We live in a fallen, broken world. And left to our own, we're going to sin, we're going to mess it up, we're going to pursue the wrong things. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church or what you hold as far as a position in the church. If you're left to your own, you're a sinner in your heart and you're going to corrupt. And you're going to let the enemy get the victory in those things. But by the mere grace of God in your life, you now begin to understand the consequences of that. That's spiritual healing. And God is healing us every single day. Now, you may not be experiencing that, okay? But you are. You just aren't seeing it. And maybe that's part of your prayer, is the scars of the sins in your past and the struggles of bad decisions you've made and bad relationships have turned into, yeah, it's not a doubt I've been forgiven, but there's bags that I carry around of these weights because of the scars and the pain that those things have created. Listen, God's promise is not just to forgive you, but he wants to heal you from those things. That's why we talk about when you truly accept his forgiveness, you're leaving the suitcases full of those weights of that sin right there on his altar. Now, I'm here to tell you, doesn't mean that all the consequences disappear. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. It's not evidence that God didn't heal you. It's just it's going to be a burden you're going to carry, but it's not meant to be in suitcases. You're meant to be freed from that and to be able to walk freely, understanding that God has forgiven you, but because of some things, God has not spared the consequence of that sin. Great example. Now, nobody in here is going to do this, but if you get convicted of murder and you get on death row, right? And you decide to get your life right with Jesus and you accept him and he has forgiven you, you're not going to immediately be let out of prison and sent home, right? There's going to be consequence of that. So now, God is certainly powerful to do that, and maybe through an appeal process, whatnot, you may find your freedom and God may orchestrate that, but he may not. That doesn't change the fact that God has forgiven you and God has healed you from the sin and the impact of that sin, but you still suffer the consequence of that because there is a societal or what we'd call legal ramification of that kind of decision, right? We know that. And that's a huge one, but there are all kinds of levels of those in our lives. I mean, if you're a horrible person, and then all of a sudden you are changed by Christ, not everybody's going to come flocking to you immediately because they know you from your past. You're going to have to let God work through that, and you got to be okay with some people never wanting to be in a relationship with you because of your former life and the way you treated them or the things that you did. But yet you still can be healed, you see. See, I think in our world today, we're confused by that. We're thinking healing takes away consequences. And the consequences being gone is evidence of the healing. I assure you, it's not always that way. Sometimes God will heal you, but there are still consequences of our sin. Listen, if we're going to be grateful truly, and these are deep subjects, I get it. We need to be focused on forgiveness and remember that. We need to remember the healing nature of God every single day. And we're not going to talk about this at this point. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But is the victory that comes through that. There's victory in his healing. There's victory in the goodness of what he does. There's victory in our life. It may not always be according to the way the world sees it or the world would define it, but it's certainly victory in the eyes of God. And we have to learn to see it that way. Number three is this, and we find this, that it's really in the last part of verse 4 down to verse 5. And crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The older I get, the more meaningful that statement means to me. But the third one you'll see on the screen is this. We need to remember his provision. Now, word provision, we don't use that often today. But we're really talking about, remember what God provides. What he provides. We've already talked about some of those, forgiveness and healing. But he also provides far greater things. Now, listen, let's be careful here. We don't want to just be merely thankful for those things. We want to be grateful for those things. Remember, gratefulness comes from understanding God's grace in your life. And then that gratefulness or that gratitude now begins to change the way we see ourselves and God and the world. And now we begin to live that out in our life every single day. It changes us because we understand that God has done all of these things without anything that we would deserve. And that provision is part of it. He's rescued us, at the very least, from our sin and from ourselves. He's placed you in a life that can be fulfilling and have meaning to it. He's put you in a community of believers that I think values you and gives you a platform to be able to grow and serve him. And now, through the grace of God, to be able to impact people. And you don't have to worry about tomorrow or next week or what's going to happen 10 years from now, because if we believe that God is sovereign and on his throne, and he's forgiven you, right, and he's healing you, has healed and continuing to heal you, then he's going to continue to provide for you in the ways that he sees fit. See, the struggle with that is that we got to let go of what we want and now begin to agree with what God wants for us. And the more we do that, the easier it is to now begin to see his provisions, his blessings, the stuff that he's allowed us to be able to accumulate. I don't mean physical things, but the experiences and the success stories and the impacts and the way that God has used other people in your life. Those are all things that he now begins to kind of create stuff, and that now begins to shape your story, and your story is shaped because of your experiences with God and God's people. And so because of that, you now begin to see the provisions and what God has given you, and now you don't fear tomorrow because you know He's already been doing these other things. What makes me think He's going to abandon me over the horizon or tomorrow, or next week, or next year? See, that's the struggle with the enemy, because the enemy wants you to be in fear all the time. Not only looking backwards and seeing what a mess up person you are, but trying to make you look forward and fear with anxiety what has not yet happened yet. And if you don't know what those things are, just turn on the news. I mean, just read a newspaper or two. Every dire false prophet around is telling us about all the bad things that are potentially going to happen in the next few months. I mean, they've been saying for years we're going to have an economic collapse. We're going to have another world war. I mean, all of those things. There's more. And if we believe those things, now we're influenced by those things, and it elicits fear. Those are things the enemy uses to distract us. I mean, it's remarkable to me that David is writing this in the midst of his life with his ups and downs, his sins and victories, but yet is seeking that peace that we talked about last week, right? I mean, it's there. It's always there. But we've got to make sure that we're grabbing hold of it and allowing that now begin to guide us so that we're not living in a constant state of fear. And it may not be that you're afraid of the external things. You may be afraid of God doesn't love you enough. Or maybe He didn't really forgive me. Or maybe He forgave me for these 10 things, but this one over here, He didn't forgive me of. Listen, that again is an attack of the enemy to disrupt your spiritual journey. And now you begin to find yourself in the midst of a theological crisis because now you're denying the sovereignty of God and the truth of God, and that never ends well. It begins to deconstruct everything else. And I don't mean asking the tough questions is wrong. It's the conclusions that you come to. If Google is your answer, or one of the ChatGPTs or Geminis is your answer to what God wants in your life, you're pursuing the wrong thing. You got to make sure that you're pursuing Him and allowing Him to do those things in your life and seeking Him and being able to enjoy. And I think this is part of our problem. I know it's my struggle sometimes. With all of the provisions that God gives us, it is meant that we enjoy those, that we truly find joy and let go of the burden of what didn't happen or what might happen or what could happen and just enjoy what He has given us. When's the last time that you've just relaxed and enjoyed the presence of God, enjoyed what He's given you, enjoyed your relationship with Him? Instead, most of us are looking for another box to tick, another hallway to travel, another person to convince, another book to read. And if I can just get that, then I'll get to that point of being content and being able to experience that joy. But I'm not there yet. That's not the way God designed us to be. We need to enjoy it, but always seek more of it. And again, we've so twisted what it means to be a believer today into all of these just wrong ideas, I'm afraid. And just understanding that really none of all of that matters. It just matters where we are with God, and are we understanding His presence, and are we resting in that presence? That's another way to say it. The joy. Listen, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to walk through these. Today we begin with that idea of just what gratefulness is and how it begins with God's action. Gratefulness is connected to God and only God when we want to see it in the sense of the biblical idea. Father, thank You this morning. I pray for each and every heart, myself included, for these next 5 weeks. Open us up and allow us to be examined and for us to see what You see in the inner parts of our lives. Many of us are struggling. We've become apathetic. We've become discouraged. We've felt a sense of hopelessness. We're living in fear. And Father, I pray that this series, not that this is the sum all end all, it's not, but it draws us to you to have conversations with you and to allow you to begin to show us how we can alleviate all of those things we just mentioned. And truly, God, have a hungering for you. I mean, not just that we want to come to church or read your word, but that we have a soul-stirring, deep-down hunger to have more of you in our life, to be changed, to experience you, to experience what we've talked about today, being truly grateful because of a changed heart. Now, God, I pray for those lost people. As we mentioned in the beginning, I pray that you have helped them to understand that it all begins with that grace act. We've said that. The grace act of what you did on the cross through Christ. And until they settle that and come to terms with that and accept Jesus and the forgiveness that is available there, and it's just simply something they need to ask for and seek in you and ask you to forgive them of their sins, and now they can begin the journey of being changed and healed and experiencing the gifts that you give us through provisions. But it all starts right there. If there's any of those here, then we invite them down in just a moment as we have our time of commitment. If they're at home watching this or listening to this, then I would encourage them, call our church office or call somebody that they know who is a believer and tell them that they are ready to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, the rest of us as believers, stir our hearts this morning to respond to you in the way that you're leading us to respond. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?